This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
There are 365 times in the Bible, they say, it says, fear not. Why is that in there so much? Because God obviously knew that just like he offers us faith, Satan was going to offer fear. Let me just say from the beginning that fear is something that's not ever going to completely disappear from our lives. The feeling of fear is not ever going to completely disappear. And just because you feel fear, that doesn't mean that you have to be afraid. And I don't know about you, but that was a real great revelation to me many years ago, because I kept wanting to not feel afraid, and God wanted me to feel the fear and be courageous anyway. Courage means to go ahead and take the action that you believe you should take, or that you know God wants you to take, while you feel fear. We let our feelings dictate to us way too much. And so the only acceptable attitude that a Christian can have is simply, I will not fear. So let's all say that. I will not fear. Now, once again, that doesn't mean that you'll never feel fear. Matter of fact, I can pretty much promise you that you will. But it does mean that you can feel the fear, do whatever you believe that you're supposed to do while you feel afraid. You can learn to do it afraid if that's the only way that you can do it. Don't let the feelings of fear keep you trapped any longer. There are 365 times in the Bible, they say, that says fear not. Why is that in there so much? Because God obviously knew that just like he offers us faith, Satan was going to offer fear. Everything that the devil offers is the opposite and perverse of what God offers. We receive from God through faith, and we receive from the enemy through fear. We let God into our life through faith. We let the enemy in through giving in to fears. And so we need to learn how to live from faith to faith to faith, and not from faith to fear and back to faith and then to fear and faith to fear and faith to fear. Anytime that God wants us to do anything that's going to benefit us or benefit anybody else, you can pretty well be assured the enemy's going to try to come against us and make us afraid. He can plant thoughts in our mind, but we need to learn that if those thoughts are not in agreement with the Word of God, that those are the ones that we need to cast down and learn how to say, the devil is a liar. Let's practice. The devil is a liar. All right. Now, Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, Moses, my servant, is dead, so now arise and take his place. Wow, what a job. What a job. Go take Moses' place. He'd been watching what Moses had been doing. He'd been seeing how the people behaved every time they didn't get their way. All these years, he'd been out in the wilderness with Moses and all these Israelites who were just griping, complaining, murmuring, always wanting to blame Moses for everything that didn't go right. And so now, Moses is dead, and God says to Joshua, now you arise, get up. And before you can do anything, you got to get up. So that's another whole message all in itself. And it doesn't just mean to get up physically, you got to get up on the inside first. And part of what I want to do this weekend is get people to get up on the inside. Get you determined that you're going to do what God wants you to do, confront what you need to confront, be the person that God wants you to be, and have all that Jesus died for you to have. And there's got to be a determination, a holy determination on the inside of us, and I call it getting up on the inside. You got to get up on the inside before you can ever get up on the outside. Amen. The enemy's always pushing us to give up and to believe that we can't do something. And as soon as we start going down inside, then everything else will follow and we'll stop doing the things that we're supposed to be doing. So he said, Moses is dead. Now arise, get up, take his place, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, into the land which I am giving to them, the Israelites. Now the next verse is so amazing. And if we miss this verse, we miss a wonderful message in the Word of God. Every place upon which the sole of your foot shall tread, that have I given to you as I promised Moses. Okay, now he didn't say if you do this and that, I will give you the land. He said, I have already given you the land. Now you go take it. No, you didn't hear me. I have already given you everything that you need to live an amazing life. Now you arise and go take it. Amen. In other words, you've got to have a holy determination. Jesus died for me to be free, and free I'm going to be. Jesus died so I could be bold and courageous and secure and confident, and that's the way I'm going to live. Jesus died for me so I don't have to spend my days worrying and being frustrated, and that's the way that I'm going to live. Amen? And look at me while I tell you something. If you are not determined, you'll never have what God wants you to have. And nobody can be determined for you. I said nobody can be determined for you. But if you are determined, then nobody can stop you. Amen? Anything that God wants you to have, there's no devil in hell and no person on earth that can keep you from having it if you just won't quit and give up. So our destiny is not in the hands of all these other people. It's between us and God. Amen? Every place on which the sole of your foot shall tread, that have I already given unto you. From the wilderness and this Lebanon to the great river Euphrates, to the land of the Hittites, Canaan and the great Mediterranean Sea, on the west shall be your territory. I love verse 5. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Now here comes another big message. Although he said, I want you to go and take Moses' place, he's now saying, but you don't have to be like Moses. You don't have to go do what Moses did or talk the way Moses talked or pray the way Moses prayed or dress the way Moses dressed or do things the way Moses did them, because Moses was only successful because I was with him, and I will be with you as I was with Moses. You know what that means? Whatever God tells you to do, no matter how impossible it might seem to you, if God said it, you can do it. But you won't do it if you don't believe that God will do it through you. Just as he is with anybody else that's successful at anything, God will also be with you. Matter of fact, if Joshua would have went out and tried to be like Moses, he would have failed. And many people fail because they never have, now listen, the courage to be who they are. They're always trying to be somebody else, a copy of somebody else instead of the original that God has designed them to be. Be strong, confident, and of a good courage, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only you must be strong and very courageous, that you might do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. So he's basically saying, whatever God has told you to do, that's what you need to do. Don't turn away from what God has told you to do. Don't look to the right or the left, but keep your eyes straight ahead and go for it. Can I just say to you tonight, whatever God has put in your heart, go for it. Come on, tell the person next to you, go for it. All right. Now, two more verses here. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you might observe and do according to all that's written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous, deal wisely, and have good success. Have not I commanded you, be strong, vigorous, and very courageous. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So in four verses, he uses three of those four verses to say, now, don't let fear stop you. He's pretty much saying, this is what I've called you to do. All you got to do is go out and take the land. I've already provided for everything else. I'm going to be with you. You can be your own person. Keep your eyes on the prize. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And he wasn't saying don't feel fear. He was telling him to fear not, because God knew that he would feel fear. But he said, don't let it stop you. Don't let it stop you. It's amazing what we lose in life by listening to fear instead of listening to God. Now, what did Jesus purchase for us with his death and resurrection? Well, first of all, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So, how much time do you waste feeling guilty and condemned? How many days do you waste being frustrated and upset and worried? How many days do you let the devil steal your joy and you're all down in the dumps and depressed and discouraged all the time? Well, then, you're not living in what Jesus died for you to have. Come on. You know, I think it takes more guts to live free from guilt and condemnation than probably any other thing that we can stand up against. Jesus said, I have made you right with me through your faith in Jesus Christ. But the devil wants us to feel totally wrong all the time about ourselves, about something. If you're praying, you're not praying right. If you listen to the word, you don't remember anything you heard. If you read the Bible, you don't understand it. I mean, when is enough ever enough? It's never enough if you listen to the devil. And so I recall when the Lord put on my heart many years ago, is Joyce, if you want to use your faith for something big, use your faith to live free from guilt and condemnation. Because I felt guilty about something absolutely all the time. And here's the bottom line. The Bible says that when we sin, which we do, that God has already provided our forgiveness through the death and resurrection of Christ. We need to repent, which means be sorry for the sin, be willing to turn away from it. And then once we've done that, we believe that God forgives our sins. He forgets them and removes them as far as the east is from the west. Therefore, when I feel guilt, it is a lie from the devil because God says that he forgot it and I need to forget it. Jesus died for you to have that freedom. Don't waste another day feeling guilty about the mistakes you made yesterday. I can't do anything about your feelings, but I can tell you how to live, and if you live the way you should live, then your feelings will catch up with your decision. Did you get that? You can't wait for your feelings to all be right before you believe something. You believe first. You act on your faith, and your feelings catch up with it later. You want it one more time? See, we listen to our feelings too much, but I feel. You can't let your feelings rule your life. Just because you feel guilty, that doesn't mean you are guilty. If you've asked God to forgive you and you're sincere, and you really, with all your heart, don't want to keep doing those kinds of things anymore, then you believe what the word says more than you believe how you feel. And when you begin to believe what the word says more than your feelings will catch up. Amen? All right. We always believe first and everything else comes later. What happens when you go out to buy a new outfit? Well, if you're anything like me, you look at stuff. You look at a lot of stuff. You try stuff on. Some things you think you're going to really like, you try it on and you're like, I don't like that at all. And then other things you think you won't like, if somebody talks you into trying it on, which is hard, you're like, well, you know, that does look pretty good. I didn't think that'd look good at all, but it does look pretty good. I've had the experience a couple of times of taking friends of mine shopping who had very strong mindsets about what they would and would not wear. And I was trying to help them get into a new mindset because I felt there would be a lot of other things that would look good on them. And sure enough, if you can get people to try on something else, then they're like, well, you know, that's not bad. So let's just pretend that I'm shopping and we're going to relate this to finding the will of God. Now, you know, some things, it doesn't take me very long to figure out it's just not me. What do you think? Yeah? No? No, we all know that's not me. Okay, how about that it? You don't think I'd look good in that? Well, I don't know how they thought I was going to try these on. They taped them to the hangers. Okay, let's see. Whew. I know the first thing my husband would say, you can't wear those, you can see through them. Man, I have to go through the grinder mill every time I get dressed with Dave. Well, you know, this. Maybe I'll try this one on and just see what we think here. Oh, my gosh. Let's see. Not so much. I don't think so. No, I don't think so. You know what? You'll never find the will of God for your life if you're not willing to try some things. You got to find out what fits. I tried working in the nursery at church. It didn't fit. Trust me. I knew it. The babies knew it. That didn't fit. I tried street witnessing because the church that I was going to at the time was really huge on passing out gospel tracts and street witnessing. And you know what? I could do it, but it wasn't me. I didn't enjoy it. It was hard for me to do. It just wasn't me. But you know, I was the kind of person I could organize a group. I could get people motivated because I've got that leadership quality. So I thought, okay, if we're going to pass out tracts, I'm not just going to go pass them out by myself. I'm going to get a bunch of women and we're going to pass out thousands of tracts. So I got this group of women this one summer. Some of you remember this, Rose, and we went down in Fenton and we put gospel tracts on every car that we could find. I mean, we put them everywhere. Me and this group of ladies passed out 10,000 gospel tracts that summer. And now I was excited about that. I was following my heart doing that, and I got called before the elders at our church and rebuked for organizing something without their permission. So, you see, many times when you're following your heart, the devil's going to arrange for somebody to come against you. But as long as I was doing their program and I was going out on the streets every Saturday morning and doing it their way, even though I hated it and it didn't fit me and it wasn't working for me, then I got the applause of people. But when I stepped out and followed my heart, got much more fruit. I wasn't passing out 10,000 tracts on a Saturday morning. But when I did what I felt like God wanted me to do, then I got in trouble. Is anybody hearing me? I said, is anybody hearing me? So you got to just keep trying stuff on, you know. Before it was time for me to go on television, I tried to go on television anyway. Ooh, what do you think? Nah, I don't think so. And so I took some of my employees and okay, believe it or not, I used to wear a red suit that has these things hanging all over them. Back when I thought that was so cool. I'd lift up my arms and all this fringe. And you know, here's the point I want to make about that. Some things are right for a season. Come on now. There may be some things that you're doing in your life that are the will of God in this season. They look right on you in that season, but they wouldn't look right 10 or 20 years down the road. Some things fit you when you're 20. You know where I'm going. That don't fit you when you're 50. Amen? So don't be afraid to try things. Now, you know, then there's things that people tell you anybody can do. It's called one size fits all. Now, actually, the truth is, I could get this on. And I would, but it would mess my hair up. And you all know me well enough to know I can't stand that. But here you go. We got the little arms here. You know how, I mean, the one size fits all mentality about the will of God is like, well, anybody can do this, and if I'm doing it, you should do it. I don't even think this will fit me. Ginger got it on. She's better than I am, I'll tell you. You can't go do something just because somebody else does it. Just because it fits them, I don't care if it is one size fits all. I may be the one all that it doesn't fit. Every pastor's wife doesn't have to lead the ladies group and play piano. Come on. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, every pastor's wife doesn't even have to work at the church if that's not what she wants to do. Come on. Oops, I can't even get that thing hung up right. So I try. You guys are going to be busy laughing at that all night. Get that down there. Now, I tried to go on television before God put me on TV, and I got some of my employees, and we rented a cable studio somewhere here in town, and I decided I was going to have a talk show, and I was going to interview them. Took about five of the ladies that worked for me, and we set up their chairs, and we set up my chair, and we had our couple of rented cameras out there, and we were on one cable station, and only problem was is I would ask the interview question, and then I wouldn't let them answer it. I'd answer the question. So we'd sit there for an hour and do this, and nobody ever got to say anything but me because I couldn't keep my mouth shut long enough to interview anybody. And I still have a little problem with that sometimes, and we'll get letters saying if Joyce is going to have guests, she should let them talk. Well, so they're back there coaching me. You know what? I tried so many things. I mean, I tried street witnessing. I tried working the nursery. I tried to learn to play guitar. I mean, I tried everything that you could imagine. And then I finally tried teaching. Whoops, that worked. And then I tried writing books. Wow, I can do that too. Hallelujah. Then when God put me on TV at the right time, awesome, that's working. Now we're on all over the world in almost 80 different languages. That seems to be God. I finally got around to something that works for me. Woo! My favorite coat. I love this thing. It doesn't wrinkle. It looks good. I get compliments on it. See, when you're doing what's right for you, you'll know it and everybody else will know it. Some may be jealous, but they'll still know it. Now, if you're ever going to find out what God wants you to do, you're going to have to try some things. You can stay in your little boring boat, or you can get out and try to walk on water. People who try things make mistakes. People who try things sometimes get judged and criticized. People who try things are the ones who do things, though.
Well, as I'm sure you're aware, fear and doubt really keep all of us from moving forward and from living a courageous life. So let's answer some of your questions right now. Ginger is here with me. Well, Ginger.
You ready to go? I've got some really good questions
for
you.
Well, we'll see. First of all, I want to know, do you have any fears in your life?
Oh, you have to jump right into the hard stuff.
Well, you like to ask me questions.
I guess it's only fair. Fear's not a big thing. I'm kind of a jump into
You're
things
a bold
kind of person.
Yeah.
However, one time I had a real tragedy in my life, and I went through such a fearful period after that, wondering what's next.
Right.
Is something bad going to happen to one of my children now? Because for a little while, I felt that I couldn't trust God to take care of things and to handle my fear. And so I really had to walk through that. And he taught me so much through that.
Well, one thing's for sure, the enemy really tries to take advantage of anything like that that happens. He'll jump. And I'm like you, I've got a real bold personality, but there are certain things, like I still have to stand against, like if somebody close to me is angry, it may not have anything to do with me, but I have to resist the fear that I've done something because I lived in that atmosphere growing up with my father. So I just thought it'd be good for everybody to know before we start that, this is something that everybody
Absolutely.
Has to deal with, but you can learn to deal with it. So what are your questions?
Yeah, everybody does. And this first question comes from Carol, and she says, I've struggled with fear and panic attacks for 40 years. Mm-hmm. God has done so many miracles in my life, but I just can't seem to get a handle on this. How can you help me?
Well, the Word of God is the only thing that I know to offer anybody for help, because I really believe it's the ultimate answer that we need. You know, a doctor may help you with a symptom, but God's Word helps you get to the root of the problems. Mm-hmm. And, you know, honestly, sometimes the longer you have put up with something or the longer it's been prevalent in your life, sometimes it takes some real persistence to get that turned around. And I think a lot of times that's not, people aren't aware of that. You know, I always tell people, you didn't get into the situation you're in overnight.
Right.
And you're not going to get out of it overnight. So first of all, I would say to Carol that she needs to really make a decision. I'm not going to live like this. And if God's Word is true for anybody, then it's true for me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be persistent. The other thing that I want to say, and I've just been realizing this more and more and more lately, is that I just think a lot of people, and I don't know this is the case with this lady, I'm not accusing, but a lot of people really don't study God's Word for themselves. And I'm telling you, there's a power inherent in the Word of God that I really want to see people get a hold on. You know, Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. So these words go, yes, into our mind, but they go down into our spirit and they begin to make changes in us. And I have to say, I had lots and lots of problems, including many fears, and I've had so much victory. But I can honestly say that I would have none of it had I not learned to really study the Word of God. Not just read it, but really study it and meditate on it.
Yeah, let it become part of who we are.
Right.
And I love what you're saying about it. It will take some time. Sometimes we have to give ourselves a little bit of grace.
Right.
It's just, you know, God gives us so much grace, but we don't give ourselves a lot. So if we begin to fear, we start condemning ourselves or say,
right,
why can't I have the faith that I need? And instead, we need to say, Lord, you know, build the faith that I have. Help me with that. And he does that when we ask.
One of the things that I really try to teach people is that if you go to God in prayer about something and you're not getting a result right away, instead of saying, well, this isn't working, say, I believe that God is working and I will see the results.
Yeah.
You know, we don't always see the results immediately. Mm-hmm. And that's that testing period where the enemy wants us to give up. And that's where we need to be persistent. And we can only do that by really having enough of the Word strongly rooted in us that we hang on to this even when we don't see anything changing in our lives.
Right, right. Well, speaking of testing, here's a question that goes right along with that. Ashton says, I'm studying for my entrance exams for medical school, and I have failed to get in twice before, so this is my third attempt. I was wondering, how should I pray, talk, and think as I prepare so that the fear of my past failures and doubt don't creep in?
Well, first of all, I want to compliment her for not giving up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was just thinking, I didn't pass my written driver's test the first time. I had to take it again. And I think several of my children didn't pass theirs the first time. They didn't pass their actual driving exam the first time. You know, Satan really wants us to look at our failures and make us just want to give up trying. But I really believe that if your attitude is, I'm never going to give up, I mean, I don't care if she had to take this test 10 times, eventually she would pass it. And so I think that's the first way I would like to tell her to think is, I'm not going to give up.
Right.
I don't care how long it takes. I mean, unless she gets a definite word from God that she's heading in the wrong direction and that's not what he wants her to do with her life, then she needs to keep being persistent and think positively. Mm-hmm. And the more positively we think about everything, the better off we are. So the way to think about something like that is to think and even to say out loud, I'm not going to be afraid to take this test, even though I've had issues in the past. I have the mind of Christ. I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to bring to my remembrance the things that I need to know at the time that I need to know it. And honestly, once again, I just really want to say congratulations that she didn't give up. And also just to other people that are watching today that maybe you're in a similar situation, you need to have that attitude, I am not going to quit and I'm not going to give up. I tell people quite frequently, one of my greatest testimonies is I'm still here.
Yeah.
And sometimes just refusing to give up is the breakthrough that you really need.
The fear doesn't win.
The fear doesn't win.
Living courageously.
Yeah.
In the face of fear.
And by announcing ahead of time, you know, our words are powerful.
Yeah.
And David declared things. King David, he said, I will declare the decree. And so the word of God is decreed and being written down for us. But as we declare that word, we're establishing in this atmosphere, in the spiritual realm, and also in this atmosphere, I am not going to give up.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give up. And I think it's just good for the enemy to know where we stand.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. This next question is a very good one. I'm sure will apply to a lot of people. It says, I need help with the fear of love. I'm terrified of allowing a man in my life to truly love me for the fear that he will break my heart. So I keep people at a safe distance, even if she's talking about someone who she says is really a good man, but she's afraid of that love.
Well, I can share an example from my own life. You know, I was really afraid to trust men because my father sexually abused me. Few other relatives did. Even a man that I worked for one time made an attempt at it. And so I just really did not trust men. And then I married the first guy that came along and he ended up being unfaithful to me and hurting me. So by the time I married Dave, who was a good man, a really good man, I was kind of making him pay for a lot of the things that other people had done to me, not realizing what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And Dave just loved me and he loved me unconditionally, but I wanted to be in control of everything. And so I was rebellious toward him and God was trying to teach me to trust, to trust, to trust. And I finally one day just said, how can you ask me to trust him after what men have done to me? And the thing that the Holy Spirit put on my heart was, I'm not really asking you to trust Dave. I'm asking you to trust me that I will take care of you. And you know, here's the bottom line. Well, what if I get hurt again?
Yeah.
You know what? Nobody can promise you that you won't. But the thing that I had to realize was that if I isolate myself from receiving love, then I not only keep the other people out, I imprison myself. Mm-hmm. When I put a wall up between me and somebody else because I'm afraid they're going to hurt me, yes, maybe I keep them from hurting me, but I'm just hurting myself.
Right.
So here's a woman who wants love. She wouldn't have sent the question in if she didn't want love. She wants to trust. Can I tell her you'll never get hurt? No. I'm not going to do that. But I can say this, the healer lives on the inside of you if you're a believer in Christ. He will heal you if you get hurt, and you don't want to just hurt yourself your whole life with loneliness and isolation because of fear that you might get hurt.
Yeah. And there are times that the risk of that hurt is way overshadowed by the joy of what you'll get when you
exactly.
walk through it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here is a question from Sean, and he says, depression, anxiety, and low self-esteem run in my family, and other family members have not been able to overcome it. If God hasn't delivered them, then why should I not have the fear for my future that I won't be delivered either?
Well, first of all, things like that don't run in families.
That's right.
It may be a learned behavior. Like my father was very negative. Well, by the time I got away from him, I was very negative, you know. But you can't inherit low self-esteem. I mean, you can learn that behavior from being around somebody that's like that. And so this person needs to get uprooted from the way they've seen other family members behave and realize that if you're in Christ now, you have a new family. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are your family, and all the believers that have gone before you, the great cloud of witnesses. And this is the truth that you're going to believe now, the Word of God and what God has to say about you. And, you know, I was very bold outwardly, but I also had fears and low self-esteem. And I've learned to be confident the same way that this person can learn to, by simply studying the Word of God until it renewed my mind enough that I believed it. And here again, you know, I couldn't just look at a scripture like Philippians 4:13 one time that says I can do all things through Christ. I mean, I've stared at it until there's hardly any words on the page, I would think. and I've meditated on it, and I've written it out in longhand, and I've studied it and confessed it and believed it. And when you do that, you're renewing your mind, and that's what this person needs. Their thinking is wrong. They're looking at what somebody else's history has been and saying, that's going to be my destiny. Well, it's bad enough to look at your own bad history and think that that has to be your destiny. It's really bad if you're going to let somebody else's history become your destiny.
Right.
So first of all, don't believe that you have to be that way because other family members have been that way. You may have learned some bad things, but you can unlearn them and learn to live like Christ wants you to live.
Even with depression or some illnesses that do run in a family,
right. Yeah.
we don't want to walk in fear of those things because of that, because God can still do anything that needs to be done in our lives.
That's right. My mother had a severe anxiety disorder, and she actually had mental illness. She had to have shock treatments for 2 years, and boy, the enemy at different times wanted me to think, well, you know, you're going to be just like her,
right.
But you got to stand against that and not take that into yourself. And, you know, I don't have those issues. Now, I might tend to be more anxious than my cool, laid-back, calm husband would be, but that doesn't mean that I have to claim a disorder just because it was in family. It's not true. There are medical reasons for depression and anxiety. There are things that can be wrong in your hormones or in your neurotransmitters, and taking good care of yourself, eliminating stress, eating good, all those kind of things help. And even if somebody needs some medicine, you know, then you can do what you need to do. But just depend on God and His Word to bring you through to a full place of victory.
This is a question from Cynthia, and she's talking about something that applies to so many of us in today's world, and it's really fear of the future. She says, how do you overcome the fear of getting laid off from your job?
Well, you know, I've been thinking lately about living the moment that I'm in. Actually, I've been meditating on this for the last week. And I have a busy mind. I'm a person that tends to think about, gotta do this. And so I almost find that daily the enemy will try to pull my mind into the past or push my mind into the future. And I've just had a renewed determination to live right now. So if you are going to get laid off from your job, worrying about it is not going to stop it. And a lot of times we worry or we fear things that aren't going to happen anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, I share sometimes that the word fear, F-E-A-R, means false evidence appearing real. So the enemy can say, well, what if you lose your job? And the best answer is, well, what if I do? God will take care of me and He'll get me another one. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, there might not be a real threat there. Maybe there's been layoffs and the person's concerned about, well, what if I get laid off? But any time that fear knocks on our door, the only way to answer it is with faith. Because the only thing, the absolute only thing that overcomes fear is faith. And, you know, just because you feel fear, that doesn't mean you have to be afraid. You can feel that fear, but come back at it with faith and say, I'm not going to bow down to that. I'm not going to give in to that. I believe that God is going to take care of me. And we all have to do that today, Ginger, with the way things are in the world today. I mean, there's not one of us that doesn't have to say, you know, I don't really know what all the future holds, but I do know that God is good and I believe that He'll take care of me.
Yeah. That is so true. And you've been very helpful today. Thank you very much.
Thank you for asking all these questions. Well, you know, today we're offering you the Living Courageously book. And boy, it's a good offer today because we're offering it to you for your gift to the ministry of any amount. Now, what do you think of that? We trust you enough to do your very best. Some of you, of course, can give a lot more. Some of you maybe can't give as much. So do the best you can. And those of you that can give more will make up for some of the people who maybe can't give as much. We do this on resources occasionally because there's something that we want everybody to be able to get. And I tell you what, I am just really kind of spiritually angry at watching people live a life far beneath the one that Jesus died for them to have because of fear. It's time for us to be bold and be courageous and be all that God wants us to be. So I really encourage you to take advantage of this offer. And hey, why not read the book and then let somebody else read it so they can get set free too.
Don't let that spirit of dread and fear get into your life. Know that you can do whatever you need to do through the strength of God that is in you and live a life that's worth living.
Get your copy of Joyce's book, Living Courageously, today. This powerful resource is available for your gift of any amount. To order, visit us at joycemeyer.org or call us toll-free at 1-800-727-9673.
If you are a medical care professional, we need your help. In fact, people all over the world need your help. And it's an opportunity that will change your life as well. You see, through our volunteer medical trips, we travel all over the world to places that are very remote and have desperate need of health care. So go to our website, check out the schedules, and join us right here. We hope to see you soon.